excited to share this one with you today. Tara is actually a member of the Harcourts family and has been so for almost 6 years now, I believe. I think it might even be longer than that. We were just talking about it, obviously, on the episode. But the part about this is a story of the progression of somebody within the community in Southern California that then chose to pick up a family and move to a completely foreign place to her with no connections, nobody at all, and then start from scratch in real estate in a completely different world. Now, when I say a completely different world, it really was, you know, the Southern community is a very different element to the way that Californian real estate is progressed. But this is a great story around some real trial and tribulation of just an honest person trying to, you know, do this for a family. And then, oh, I'm going to have to do real estate here as well. And it's pretty inspirational what she's doing and what she has done and the turbulence that she's worked her way through. Great character. We love Tara. But hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it.
Tara.
Ben.
Welcome to Rethink Real Estate.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, first of all, you are part of the Harcourts family.
Yes.
But I'm actually shocked that you're still part of the Harcourts family, and I want to tell you why is because I have for the last, I don't know, 5 years pronounced your name incorrectly.
Yes. Yes. I think that's why I've stuck it out because I am determined that you will say Morawski the correct way. Dude, you pronounce people who have like 15 consonants and 8 vowels. You get that right, but you couldn't land mine.
No. But hang on. You think I get that right? I still probably am getting theirs wrong as well. Like it's just it's a thing that only you know. It's like one of those things that I tell most people. It's like just say it with a whole bunch of confidence and roll out of it, so that therefore most people will think that you know what you're talking about.
True. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I'll stay here until you get it correct.
So, just for a little bit of color on today's episode for the listeners, is that you and I have known each other. It's more than 5 years now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're going on 6 now.
Okay, so I think that there's a part of this journey that I want to give people a little bit of context to, and I want to make sure that obviously we're going to do an introduction to the episode, and they're probably already getting this, but I'm going to, for a risk of repeating myself, I still like to go through it, is that you were an agent within the Harcourts network in Southern California. Mm-hmm. Now, something I don't know, did you grow up in Southern California?
Yes. I mean, my family moved there when I was 18, 19 months, so yes, I grew up in Southern California.
From where?
Ohio.
Oh, hi. Okay, that's a bit of a sea change.
Yeah, tiny bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you would you'd spent a majority of your life at that point within California, and you were a realtor. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. You're a realtor. You're a successful realtor doing a few $100, $100,000 in GCI. You know, there was, you know, you had a great network of people. And again, you were one of the, I still believe that you are one of the best personalities within our entire network. So ultimately you were never missed, not only locally, but also within the company. But then there was an itch, there was a change, there was something, and we're going to talk about this and we're going to dive into it because I really want people to learn from what you've gone through. Okay. Is that you then decided to move. You moved towards the East Coast, okay, into South Carolina, more specifically Columbia. For those that don't know it, it's basically the center of South Carolina, right in the middle there. Yes. Uh-huh. Beautiful little place. We'll talk more about that shortly and the decision that you made there. But I think that there's a part of this process where someone might go, oh, well, that's not too different. You know, there's a lot of people leaving California. There's a lot of people moving into marketplaces, you know, where it's more affordable. But not a lot of realtors are doing that, first of all, because obviously the average house price is different. But second of all is that I think that the nature of your real estate community is your ability to then build relationships. And literally starting from scratch is probably one of the most daunting things that anybody can do. I believe, like, don't get me wrong, if you're moving somewhere, and this is going to sound really bad, and I promise you I'll let you have a turn here in a second, but this is going to sound really bad, but if you're moving there with a guaranteed job, that is a whole different level of security that you never had, Tara, because you've got a family, okay? You've got dependents, okay? And in essence, you pick them up and you move there to do a commission-only job with only a certain amount of runway as well, and you had to really stick that out and stay committed to it.
Yes, I did.
So let's wind everything back to the beginning.
Okay.
Why did you make a decision to move?
I know. I was never going to leave California. Never, ever. And never say never, because just never. But I never was. Because realistically, I was doing really well there. I was so happy. I finally got things moving. I mean, I could sell 12 houses, make over six figures. Like, life was good. But my oldest, for those that know me, is autistic. And so we knew we were going to start planning for his future. He's 18. And we knew also, although high functioning, we were going to be financially supporting him for the rest of his life. Now, he does want independence. And that independence was going to be very difficult in Southern California. I mean, it's just very difficult to live there, regardless of your, you know, abilities. So we started to plan on leaving and where we were going to go. We looked at all the common places that Southern Californian people look, Texas, you know, Nevada, you know, and I just really wanted to be on a coast. So we just kind of kept inching our way across the country. I wanted, okay, well, let's land on the East Coast. And there was more opportunities in the southeastern part. And we kind of narrowed our focus on the Carolinas. And realistically, in 72 hours, we flew out on a red eye, landed in Columbia, looked at 12 homes in North Carolina, put bids in both states, and Columbia guy took it. And I'm like, okay, well, there we are. So that's how we ended up.
I did not know that. Where was the North Carolina part? Where were you looking?
Charlotte. Yes. So we liked both.
But is Charlotte a bigger city, much bigger city than what Columbia is?
Oh, very much so. Charlotte reminded me a lot of Orange County. You know, it's very developed. It is very big. I was excited about the Columbia opportunity because it wasn't anything like we were used to in Orange County. So I thought, if we're going to go southern, you know, let's go all different. And we did.
I think that there's a part of this that I just want to give a little bit more color to that I might not have done a good job of, is that you were in Orange County, was where your home base was. And just to be clear to people that don't know California as well, like I know a lot, like, again, this is an Australian thing, is that all of my family think that I live in LA. We do not live in LA, folks. Nothing against LA to the people in LA, but I would never live in LA, right? Again, unless it was maybe in Bel Air or something like that. But realistically is that Orange County is a very different world from a California perspective than the rest of California, if you ask me. Yes. And it's a place where if you're going to make a move, you're going to have to find somewhere pretty comfortable to beat this type of area. And I mean, and I'm talking strictly now from a real estate perspective. I'm not talking about, I think it'd be tough to bring kids up here. I think that that would be a hard thing because of the financial status of so many different people. I think that all of those things, I'm just talking real estate at this point, is that I think Orange County is like when you find one of the more perfect places from a real estate perspective. Like you said, 12 homes, make six figures. You know, Columbia is a different feel to that. And yes, it doesn't cost you as much to live there, but I think everything's all relative.
Yes. 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 I mean, food, gas prices are much less. So that's been great. But food prices, insurance, utilities, it's all pretty similar.
Okay. So let me talk about this then. The part of this that then you were making a decision based on your family's needs.
Yes.
And you kind of ended up in a place that was going to be better from an independence perspective for your son.
Yes.
And I totally get that. Where did real estate rank in the decision-making process? Because again, family is always going to be number one. Okay. Yes. And I know you well enough to understand that outranks everything by a very long way. But I think that then there's something that's got to be in the back of your mind going, okay, I can do this. I can sell homes here. Did that weigh into the decision at all?
No, we were going to go regardless. And honestly, I was heartbroken that I was going to leave Harcourts. I was heartbroken I was going to leave my career that was finally, you know, going places. That hurt more than honestly leaving some friends and family. How horrible. But I didn't want to leave that. I really didn't. And the funny thing is as I was telling Chad, my partner here, you know, the news, I was heartbroken that I wasn't going to do this any longer. And I just as a joke, I just toyed with, I just said, hey, why don't we just open an office in South Carolina? You know, just, it'll be fun.
He picks up the phone, he calls me and we make something happen. But I want people to sort of get another grasp of this as well. And this is, this is not the Admiration Society just talking about how good you are and why you did it. We're going to go through decision-making things here as well, is that because not only did you then decide not to join a local brokerage there, okay, that is already doing real estate and then you could learn from those that are doing it. We opened up a completely new company with a completely new brand. We have something brand new when it comes to auction as well. You know, there was a lot of points of differences, and there was a lot of probably points where you could have taken a path of less resistance, but yes, you did choose to dig in hard in the beginning. Yes. So you land on the ground, and this is where I think people will get the most amount of value, whether it's the personal ability to pick up and move and start from scratch in a place that no one knows. But then there's this part that also in an industry that is commission only, all of a sudden your average sale price is much lower. Yeah. Okay. There's still costs in your life that are going to be very much the same.
Yep.
So therefore you've got to pick up the volume of transaction and cadence is in the back of your mind as well. But then also not to join a local brokerage, then to start your own in essence. And we had to get the licenses and everything transferred over for you to become a broker in Columbia or in South Carolina, I should say. So then you could run that office.
Yeah.
Where did all of this come into play for you? Like in the sense that This is all very hard things.
Yeah. I think I've been given, I think when I was created, honestly, because I was given a whole lot of optimism and a really good sense of humor, because I've been dealt some difficult hands, and I don't think this is not for the faint of heart. And I've always just, I don't know, yes, I could have done it a whole lot easier, and I wouldn't recommend the way I've done it to many people, but I don't know, I'm not afraid of hard things. I like a challenge, and I've even told people, I mean, I told you last year, I won't leave this. You're going to have to drag me out of here kicking and screaming. I'm not going to give up on something. My husband, it took him 20 years to realize how damn good I am. I don't give up. Yeah, he didn't have any interest in me until, but I don't go away. So I stick it out, not afraid.
Let's talk about the sticking out, because this is where I think that there's a level of tenacity that people can learn from. First month, what did it look like?
First month starting the business or first yep, of everything? Both. Well, so when we got here, I had to attain my broker's license. So I had to learn, you know, you're taking all new courses and everything. So the first month really was getting that. Once we got the license, then we had to kind of put together systems out here, because yep, I'm in a completely different time zone. I've got different phone numbers, you know, so a lot of the things that I was using in California, we kind of had to relearn how to use out here. We had to figure out how to use the local MLS. I mean, so it was really building something that it's not like I just popped open another office, you know, in Orange County I'm across the country. So yep.
Can I just quickly, I just want to stop you there, and I want to go back to this first part. You're doing broker's exams, you're studying for that.
Yes.
You're then learning the way that contracts, and you're learning the way that the process works from a sales perspective there. I'm thinking about that because, again, to sort of draw a parallel, Calista and I moved to the US. We're doing a completely new thing within auctions.
Yeah.
My level of anxiety that I had while learning everything was like, this is a fucking waste of my time. Okay. I just need to be out there. I've got to make money. I don't have that much runway here. I've just got to go out there and do deals. How did you temper yourself with that?
We had, when we were coming out this way, we knew we had a certain budget to live off of. So that kind of helped a little bit. I mean, I knew going out here, we had a limited amount of funds. So that took a little bit of the edge off. Mm-hmm. But as we progressed into like month 9 and month 12, that's when, and things weren't moving as quickly as I had hoped. That's when the fear and the panic and the everything else started to arise. So
now, Tara, let's just fast forward this a little then, because just from a happy ending perspective, so that nobody's on a suspense factor here, is that this is not a train wreck. Tara is absolutely really on a absolute tear at the moment and really got some momentum, which is wonderful to see. You can't be, have to be honest, is that if there's anybody that's going to succeed, I genuinely feel that it should absolutely be you based on the nature of the person that you are.
Thank you.
But that said though, is that when did it start to have a light at the end of the tunnel? And my real question is, did those moments of absolute desperation that you got into towards the end, I want to talk about whether or not that helped you succeed to where you are now. Did you wish that you went out there with not as much buffer maybe, or I don't know?
No, because for me, like I know a lot of people are motivated by, I panicked to where I felt numb and scared, and I couldn't get out of bed some days. It was a difficult journey. But it's my kids that kept me going, because I have no other choice than to make this work, because I've got a lot of plans. So it was being more with my kids and seeing them thriving and knowing what my oldest is going to accomplish here. That's what motivated me. Because I'll get a part-time job. I mean, I'll do whatever I had to do to get the extra funds. But it was my kids that pushed me to keep waking, getting out of bed. Because some days I couldn't even get out of bed. It was horrible. It was hard, tough, scary.
So we got month one. You've got all the understanding stuff. Month two, that would have bled into month two. Month three comes around. Where are you at in month three at this point? Are you up and running? Are you showing how? What are you doing to build yourself? Like, there's an element of cold prospecting that you do, but that I would say is probably 20% of the business that you've created.
Yeah.
Okay, is that you are a personality, you are a people person, you are an everything person. Talk to me about the third month, second month. What was the infrastructure that you were going with, and what were you doing?
So first of all, I was never a cold caller. That's just not in my nature. I would do maybe very few at a time. So because we had such limited capital, that was kind of our big focus, is let's just pound the phones. Let's pound the phones and let's really get some business going. And so I would spend a pretty good chunk of time on the phones, and I never did it. So there was a big learning curve for me to figure a lot of that out. So I spent a couple months really trying to get that, and then to do it, because it was so, I'm so uncomfortable with it. So I had to learn
absolutely
how to absolutely do that. And then, I mean, other things I was doing, I mean, when I moved here, we knew one person. I had no family. We had nobody, not a soul. The only person I knew was my realtor. So not much I can do with that. No. And when you start a real estate business, you know, you usually hold other people's opens. You usually, you know, you have your sphere. There's things. I had zero. I had none of that. The cold calling is what I would do. And that was a learning curve, but I got that.
Can we go back to that though? Because I really want to talk about that.
Yeah.
You're not a cold caller. You didn't build your business off that over here.
Not at all.
I know that it sucked the energy out of you doing it. Let's be honest here. Did it work or did it not work?
It did. In the beginning, it did give me my first couple of transactions. Yes.
Okay.
So I did meet a buyer, and I did get a listing, about one buyer and one listing out of my cold calls. Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that, because again, I think that there's a part of this where a lot of people always sit back and go, oh yeah, but you know, we always say that you did the hard things in the beginning. I was fully prepared for you then to say, no, it didn't get me anything. You know, like at the end of the day, because if you don't really love something, it really doesn't reward you as much in that situation. Like there's a certain type of thing, if you're getting up every morning miserable to actually have to pick up the phones, it's kind of tough. So how did you fill your day with some things that you weren't miserable with to keep going?
So I joined about every club I could join here in Columbia. I'm part of every organization. I attended every networking event. I mean, anything that would let me in, I would join and be a part of. I'm active in my kids' school. I'm active at our church. My husband would tease and say I was gone more than I was ever at home. And that's what I did. And then I do a lot of video tours. So I would go into vacant homes and I would tour homes. And that's how I learned the market and how I learned neighborhoods and how I learned the area. And I would video those and just share them on social media. And I would get attention that way. I delivered Meals on Wheels, you know, and that also gave me an opportunity to learn neighborhoods and areas. And I mean, so I am out. I'm out. I probably know more people here in South Carolina than I ever did in California, because I have to. And now I do. And now I'm seeing it's taken a year, but all of that, I'm seeing it now. I'm picking the fruits of that labor because all of my last transactions, oh, I'm active in our business communities. I started a networking event here for female business owners. Now that's where about 75% of my business is coming from is business owners that I know, investors and organizations that I'm a part of. And that's what I'm thriving off of. I think that's now I'm excited. No more sad Tara, now happy Tara.
Well, again, there's a few deals that get on put on the board in that it'll obviously help as well. But I think that there's this part here that I think I really want people to understand is that you did what was necessary in the beginning and that cold calling expired and things along those lines and circle prospecting in order to try and get the ball rolling.
Yes.
But it came with also that not being the primary thing. You had to build a foundation for long-term success at the same time, and which I really admire that type of foresight, Tara, that you've actually gone through and you've done that. But I wanted to ask about the community basis stuff. To me, I'd rather cold call than actually go out and go to a networking function. I struggle with that stuff. I don't like small talk. I don't like that. So what would your advice be to somebody like me that's like, if I'm going to move to a different marketplace, that networking or that infrastructure that is the long-term view of your business, how do you embrace that a little more?
I wouldn't. If you're good at that, then by God, then get on the phone and call people for 8 hours a day. Build your business that way. I would never make somebody do what I did because I didn't enjoy being made do what I don't like to do, but I did it because I had to do it. But no, do you, boo. I mean, I don't think you would have to. I mean, I do think it's beneficial to get out of that, you know, and instead of just being in a room and talking all day long, because, people want to work with people that they know and that they like. And especially here in the South, people are loyal here. You know, and that was one of the things. I mean, in California, you get on a phone. I mean, they're just waiting for the next thing. You know, they don't care. The next, give me the next agent. I mean, you could smooth talk and they'll just, you're just here. It's much difficult to get business because they have to really trust you and know you. And there's a loyalty and there's a respect. And it's different in the Southern culture than the fast-paced California culture.
That's what I want to talk about here because you and I spoke about this when I was out there with you and the acceptance of the, because again, it's kind of like, you know, the Australian that came to California and told them that they were doing real estate wrong. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, it's not exactly the best reception you get from most people. Don't get me wrong. I would go as far as to say probably 20 to 30% of people immediately want to hear about something new and are open to that.
Yeah.
Whereas the majority though, they definitely want to, oh no, you're not from around here, so to speak. Things are done differently here. It's just a little bit different. I want to just understand that that market a little bit. How many people that you operate with there would actually be born and bred South Carolinians?
You know, we've got a big, big push from folks from the West Coast and the Northeast, but probably I would say at least 75% of everybody here is from the South. I mean, be that South Carolina or North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, but Southern. Yep. The majority is still very much Southern.
Because you've seen some people like Charleston, for example, is so expensive now that obviously people have progressed more towards Columbia and things along those lines from the perspective of price point. But like breaking into that community of people that just are like, well, hang on a second, you're not a local realtor. You haven't done this for a long time, you know, all of those different things. How did you get around that in the beginning?
I had to kind of reach, first of all, I speak very fast. I'm very energetic. So I have to really focus on who I'm talking to because there is just a little different. So I had to change a lot of myself and kind of mirror what I'm around. I'm pretty open about it. You know, I don't want them to think I've got something new and I've got something a little different and I've got something a little better. And so when I'm open about it, you know, then they're okay. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe. Well, yeah. Okay. And then they kind of warm up to me and my ideas. And then I do have a track record, you know, in California, and I can bring that to them and show them. And the price points here too are much different. So if I am pitching to, say, a higher price point, a higher priced market out here, you know, well, have you ever sold a home over $400,000? You know, I'm like, well, yes, frankly, I have many, you know, and so that kind of helps a little bit too, you know, because we're just a higher end brand, and the luxury market out here is not being served well, you know, so I'm bringing a lot of things that I think they don't have that they're excited about getting. Yep. And I'm the one bringing it to them. So it's been transition, but a positive one, I think.
Well, I think that there's this part also that I want to sort of make sure that we sort of touch on, is that as we go through your journey of through the progression of everything, the people, I just want to keep touching on this, is that you are also operating in your own brokerage. You started your own brokerage. It wasn't joining a different brand or something that was already established. You were getting to understand that as well. Now, don't get me wrong, in the journey of what we're on at the moment, there's the primary focus is the Terra brand, so to speak, is that we need to get that going. But I guess that, where does this look from a future perspective? I want to talk about that. I want to address, you know, what is the viewpoint for you in Colombia? What does Harcourt's Carolinas look like with you at the helm of it?
So my 5 to 10 year, what I'd love to do, I'm so glad we landed in Colombia, because we are the dead center of the Southeast. And if I'll say, when I have my way, I would love to have this be kind of like our, you know, first office, maybe our hub, our corporate office. And then I want to branch into Greenville. I'd like to have an office in Charleston. I want to get back up into Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham. I want to get into Atlanta's market. I kind of want to own most of the part of this country with our brand. So that's kind of what I'm working towards.
I think that there's this thing within, you know, any real estate company where people think they're like, oh, well, no, well, you just need to have multiple business owners in multiple locations. Again, we come from a model where we love the progression within what we have, is that, you know, you being a performer in California that moved out there and wanted to take us with you. And then when you did take us with you, is that there's got to be a sense of loyalty that then is given to you also to actually give you a chance to then grow it over time. Wow. But I guess that there's this part of this that I want to go back, and I think it's one of the more valuable things that we can do. What would you do differently? You know, making a decision around where you move to for your family's sake, but then also from a business perspective as well. What would you do differently going through your journey to get yourself up to speed quicker, if you could change anything that you did?
You know, I thought a lot about this, because even Chad and I talked about this in like our year review. It's going to sound weird, because it was hella hard. I don't think I would have changed anything. I mean, Ben, I mean, I think all the muck and everything that I did and I went through and I learned, I grew, and I was uncomfortable and I was unhappy, but it made me better. And I'm way better at real estate out here than I ever was in California. So it's easy. If you would have talked to me 6 months ago, you know, as I'm on the floor in the fetal position shaking, I don't know if I would have had this, but I'm so glad I wouldn't have changed a thing. I mean, maybe I would have come out here and probably not just jumped into it. I might have given myself six months or so to just kind of, because I mean, I moved my family, we changed schools, I got the kids enrolled, I got my broker's license, I opened a brokerage, I mean, I found doctors. I mean, I did all these things in 6 months that maybe if I would have just kind of settled my family first and then went all heads, you know, and heels into Harcourt's, that might have been the only thing I would have maybe done, is just maybe paused for 6 months, then jumped in. But everything else, even all the ugly, I'm grateful for it.
No, that's good.
I'm good.
That's good.
Yeah.
You can handle ugly.
Yeah, I do.
You're built for it. And I think that there's a part of this as well. And what I mean by that is that, and forgive me if I don't know some other things, but you know, there's an element of, I think that you thought that you were built for ugly and you were built for hard.
Yeah.
Okay. But then you've actually gone and tested that.
oh, I was humbled real fast. You know, you think you're the shit, you know, and then you get somewhere and you realize I don't, you know, I had to grow a second backbone and I had to go grow four more layers of skin. And I had to, if somebody would have sat me down and said, this is everything, I probably would not have jumped on board at all. But I'm better for it today.
That's good. Well, as we round out the episode, okay, I want to go into a few different things along, you know, outside of the whole journey that you've been on. You're a mum, you're very busy. Obviously, when you might have a few moments to yourself, tell me about favorite books, favorite podcasts, but also theatrically as well. When are you getting back into another play? Give me something along these lines.
I don't know. Gosh, I have no time for community theater. So people just have to put up with reels that I put out, because that's my way of scratching that itch is putting on stupid reels.
Let's talk about that for a second. If you guys want a good social media person to follow to get good content from, like, I think that I know more about Columbia than most people do because I watch your stories. I know more about Columbia, South Carolina than I do knowing what's going on in Orange County, because I see all of the community stuff that you put up. I get property tours from you all the time. You know, there's obviously a few good laughs along the way as well. You definitely need to follow. You will make sure that your follow for the Instagram is in the show notes, because I think that it's definitely worth it. It's funny, even your business partners, right, who aren't big social media guys, I knew things way more than they knew them, coming out, because I'm like, haven't you seen that? They're like, what do you mean? Oh, sorry, it's on social. Yeah, right.
That's always
a good follow.
It is. When do I have time to read books? Lately, I've been really trying to read it's horrible. It's books that I can't even think of one right now. The last one I read was just fun books. I've been so focused on trying to think and trying to grow that when I have 2 minutes, I'm just trying to read entertainment. Casual.
Something that you don't have to think about while you do.
Yes. So that's what I'm, and that's what I'm reading. And funny things. I just like funny things.
Well, I think that's my final question then. Maybe it's a more fair question is, think about the deepest, darkest moments that you were in from a mental perspective, thinking that what have I done?
Yeah.
Where did you go to for reprieve? Like, what would you tell somebody that might be there at the moment or thinking about doing this, and then you know that there's going to be some hard moments where you doubt everything that you've ever done? Usually mine are in the car when it's really quiet.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But what do you do in those moments in order to pull yourself out of it? Like I know that the kids are there. We've spoken about, they get you out of bed, but what did you do in those moments for you, Tara, to keep you going?
I cried a lot. I can tell you every gas station parking lot I've ever cried in. So I did a lot of that. I ate a lot of really good Southern food. So I have a lot of extra weight now to prove some of that. I really prayed a lot too. That was the only, those are the three things: cry, eat, and pray. If that should be my book, because those are the three things I did, and that's what pulled me through to the sunnier side of where I'm at right now.
Well, I think that as we round out the episode, I want to say thank you so much for jumping on and talking about your journey, because it comes with these lessons that a lot of people we could get another real estate person on here that literally just started in real estate and was successful in a marketplace that they ultimately knew, or they'd lived in for a long time. Maybe they didn't know many people there, but they'd lived in it for a while. They knew it. There's very few people that do what you do. Now, again, that's not that is a compliment, but it's also a backhanded one as well. Like, it's like, you're a bit crazy. Okay, a little bit crazy.
Totally.
Which again, you can lean into. We can lean into.
I'm open about it. Yeah.
That's right.
No one in their right mind would have ever done this. Hey, let's move across the country. Let's take the family and let's start a business.
That's right. But it's also designed, another reason that I'm doing this with you as well is that it's also designed as a level of accountability, because you're one person that I know that if you've got a level of, if you've committed to something, it's going to happen. Because there's moments there, like if you called me, like call it 6 months ago and said, hey Ben, I just can't do this anymore, would have been like, okay, that's fair. You know, you gave it a really good shot, but you know, you're really struggling at the moment. I get it. Yeah. You have to be loyal to your family and loyal to your situation. But that call never came. And I don't think I'm ever going to get that call, to be honest.
No. And even when you visited, I wasn't going to even know. I was going to fight you even harder to show you that I've got this. I'm going to do this. It's going to happen. So yeah, no, it doesn't come. Again, I married a man who wouldn't talk to me for 8 years, and I wore him down. I'm going to wear down the southeastern part of the United States. They don't know it yet, but I'm coming.
Mm-hmm. Southeastern part of the United States, folks, if you ever need somebody that understands it, you've got Tara there. Thank you for sharing. We really appreciate it. Rethink Real Estate.
Thank you, Ben.
So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.